This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up, everybody? We are still here at PAX East 2024, and I linked up with Steven from Stack Up, which is a veterans charity centered around gaming. And you're a veteran yourself. I read an article about you and saw the DS with Final Fantasy Tactics in your uniform, which was one of my favorite Game Boy Advance games.
Well, I'll tell you, what a picture. You know, it's one of those things you couldn't have. I mean, that was back before everybody had digital cameras, and it was one of those where you could take a million pictures and not even think about it. That was a shot that somebody had to take and develop, and shit like that. I was like, what a shot.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah, I loved it. So why don't you tell our Geekscapist a little bit about yourself and Stack Up, and we can just go from there.
All right. So Stack Up, we're a military charity. We support U.S. and allied veterans through gaming and geek culture. So video games, Dungeons and Dragons, Pokemon, anything that gets guys and gals excited and interacting with one another. And it started off just sending Xboxes and PlayStations to guys deployed downrange, and now we're a mental health charity, so who could have seen that coming?
But yeah. Now that I can really appreciate that. My dad's a Vietnam era vet, draftee, so I know I've heard plenty of stories. Yeah. So I've heard plenty of stories about folks coming back. When I heard about your charity, I was instantly in love with it. So what was the genesis of it? Where did you start, came up with the idea of Stack Up? And I know what Stack Up means, but maybe you can tell a little bit from the non-military folk.
Sure.
About it.
So that's a two-part question there. Yeah. Stack Up is a formation. When you stack on it, so if you think to like a police procedural show when a SWAT team comes to execute a search warrant or something like that, and they line up on a door, that's called a stack formation. And so usually when somebody say, hey, go stack up on that door, that's like a unit coming together. And for us, it turned into a group of individuals coming together to do something, to execute on something. And so it came as a natural, like, as opposed to going so-and-so gate, like veteran gamers, or like, there was a period of time in 2014, 2015 where every blog out there was like, so everyday gamers and so-and-so gamers. And it's like, all right, we're not going to do that. And I ran another charity, used to be called Operation Supply Drop. And Operation is another one of those key military, like, oh, it's a military thing. So
yeah.
I didn't want to do that again. So when I came up with a new name, it was like, come up with something different that isn't what everybody else is doing. You know, something fast and something easy to say. So yeah, it was a military term.
I like it. I love it. I think it's perfect.
I'm glad I did that. It was one of those we could have done with a bunch of other names, and I was like, nope, this worked out. And it worked out pretty beautifully. So that's what a stack is. And then the other half of that was
What was the genesis? I should do this.
So as that picture, and I hope you're bringing up a copy of that picture while we're doing this, but that was 2001. Gaming has been a huge piece of my life. Like, ever since I could walk, I was a gamer. There's a booth on the show floor, the Atari booth, and they have an Atari 400.
Okay.
And it's literally like before the 2600, they had like the tape cassette playing video game. That's how I started. Like, I was one of them Pong kids back in the day. So, I mean, I'm old school. Can we swear?
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
I was going to say old school AF.
Yeah. As fuck, as if you don't know.
For those of you who do not parlay, I've been gaming forever. And when I deployed overseas with the military, gaming was always something that, like, whenever we would come back in from patrol or we'd come back in and do anything, gaming was always a thing. I immediately, like, all right, I'm off. And that's what many people do anyway. But just that was the thing that centered me. When I came home, kind of struggled a little bit with transition back home, and I came back 3 weeks before World of Warcraft came out.
Oh, that's a good time
and
to come
I
back.
I knew what that game was going to... I had a feeling. I was like, the Warcraft people are putting together an MMO. All right, let's see what they got. Well, 20 years later. So that... My time in Warcraft was one of those things that helped recenter me after I was struggling from being back home. And fast forward a couple years, my driver from Iraq redeployed to Afghanistan. He stayed in. He got out and then went back in. A lot of guys that get out, you know, they're like, screw this, I don't want to do this anymore. And then they find the cold, harsh reality of being a civilian, and they go, I'm going back in. And so he did. Immediately deployed to Afghanistan. And they didn't have anything where they were set up at. Their morale, welfare, and recreation tent had been rat fucked, for lack of it. Like everything in the unit before took everything with them when they left.
Bastards.
It's not uncommon, but it's one of those things that's like, all right, really, do you need to, come on.
Yeah.
So they took everything with them. He reached out to me. I was doing fake games journal, much like yourself, you're doing.
I hate the games journalism, but I understand what you mean.
So I was doing blog work back at the time for a group called Extra Life.
Oh, yeah. Was like, yeah.
They used to have a blog called Sarcastic Gamer.
Yep.
And so I was the editor-in-chief over there, and I had some contacts with the games industry at that point. And so I reached out and was like, hey, can we help this guy out and see if there's anything we can do? Well, the response we got back was huge. Just pallets of stuff being shipped to my house.
Wow.
To be like, hey, let's help this guy out. So we boxed up a bunch of that stuff, sent it over. And I say we, it was me out of my basement. But it was like, yeah, I'll send it over to Jeff and we'll have a good time. And, you know, he sent back these amazing pictures of them utilizing a briefing projector to have a Guitar Hero competition. You know, in Afghanistan.
That's fantastic.
And they were smoking cigars and having a guitar. It was like one of these, like, all right. So we sent those pictures back to Activision and all the different places that we got stuff from. Really excited. Thought it was great. And this is back in 2009, so it's a long time ago. But you give one Joe an Xbox. Next thing you know, everybody's like, hey, where'd you get it? Can you get us? Hey, what about 13 Fires? Can we get an Xbox too? What about this? So it turned into... And I still had more than enough stuff that they sent back to us. So I was like, we could keep doing this. So kind of took off from there. And, yeah, just over the years, more and more people would make requests. And I was working in D.C. as a government contractor at the time. And I was making pretty good money. So I was like, all right, this is a cool use of my time and energy. And I was working with Extra Life, but I didn't really have that. I don't have any kids, so it didn't really have that kind of pull for me, the sick kid conference. But I understood veterans. And I was like, what if we did this for veterans? There you go.
Right man, right place, right time. It sounds like it fell into your lap. A lot of amazing projects, especially ones that I really gravitate to, have the right man, right place. So I really appreciate what you've done. What are some of the notable achievements you made through the years with your organization? How can people support Stack Up and support veterans
like
and their family?
Questions.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm a rambler.
Okay, which one was this one?
Okay.
So we're talking about notable achievements. Let's start there. We've helped over 50,000 veterans in 10 years. So that's a big, we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary this November. So it'll make for our 10 years, which is wild. We've gotten very comfortable raising $1 million every year, which is equally amazing. If you would have told me back in the day, when I first started all this, you know, getting a block of hotel rooms at a convention was like the goal. Like, it's holy cow. Could you imagine spending like $4,000 on hotel rooms for an event? Like, that's wild. And now we do it all the time because this is where our people are at. But it was just, we had that kind of, that money. And now it's looking forward to the future and be like, what's the next couple $1 million a year look like? Like, how does that, you know, as we continue to grow? Fortunately, the games industry has taken a bit of a shit the last couple of years. You know,
it's a little rough right now.
A little spicy out there. So, you know, we also had layoffs like everybody else did because, I mean, the money just contracted and we're seeing the post-effects of COVID and all that. So, but we survived. We're doing okay and we're living within our means again, you know, and I look forward to the next chapter, whatever that looks like. But things are, you know, again, the 10 years and things are just good. You know, it's just like, despite the layoffs and everything, it's everybody understood what was happening. I mean, no one was like, what? I can't believe you would do this. It's like, we understood as many or as all of these organizations are learning, like, we had a very rich couple years during COVID when the government was just handing people checks. And, oh, there's just all kinds of money now. And it's like, okay, that the party had to end sometime.
And yeah, and then a lot of that money had to go back.
So we're all kind of dealing with the after effects of that, but we survived. We're doing well. The opening of our headquarters was another major, like, oh, we're getting somewhere. Like, this is, so we own a mansion in Los Angeles that we've retrofitted into a community center for veterans.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
So we have guys that we bring up once a week, like, as a opportunity to get them gaming and interacting with one another and having a good time, giving them a community to work off of. Like, because a lot of the guys that we're working with, like, they don't have cars, they don't have, you know, stable living conditions. They're post-homeless veterans, and they're just, so we give them a place to, like, wash their clothes and play games together and take naps and feel safe, like, which a lot of these, like, Section 8 housing developments, and it's almost like a barracks. You're living with six guys that are like, oh, this guy's over here smoking meth, and this guy's jerking off in my bed, and it's like, oh, we've heard some stories. It's like,
oh, I bet. And the veteran population is, personally, in my eyes, is the least attended to population. There's a lot of homeless vets out there that we could easily be helping, and so that's another thing I gotta commend you for, is helping the folks that deserve it.
We're definitely trying. The Los Angeles County has almost 300,000 veterans in it. We're the largest homeless veteran population in the country, and it's just not a great spot right now. And I mean, that's the country in general right now. I mean, post-COVID, it's nothing but homeless encampments anymore. You just see RVs lined up and down the road, and it's just like, well, this is where America's at right now. So I don't know how we're going to get out of this, but so we're just kind of battening down the hatches, as it were, and doing the best we can, and helping the people around us as best we can. And that's all you can do anymore. So
yeah. And the second part to that two-part question, I promise I won't do any more of those. where can people support you, and where can people support you? It's a habit.
I'm not gonna do it, but I got another two-parter for you. Yeah. It's all good. Hey, we're having fun here.
Yeah,
all right. So where can
I've never had that pointed out before, but you know what? Now thinking back in my life, I do that a lot.
When I am sitting in your part, I would just because I want to get all the questions out.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh right, because you don't have any notes, so you're just going off the fly. So I get you. I know what you're saying. So all right, how can people support? Just head over to stackup.org. Website's over there. Our Discord channel is where a lot of the action happens, obviously. We've got about 6,000 people, which means about 20 active at any time. So you know how that goes. But, that's a great place to start. And just head over there if you want to stream, if you want to fundraise, if you want to just help out locally. We have our Stacks program, which we didn't really talk about.
Oh, yeah. Share about that. What's that?
So Stackup has, I guess, five programs now. We have our supply crates, which is how we started out, just boxing up games and gear, sending them overseas, and helping out folks back home in the States. We have our air assault program, where we fly disabled or deserving veterans to various gaming conventions, geek culture events, Disney, Universal Studios, a lot of studio tours in there now, being out in Los Angeles. We have our Stacks program. We've got about 30 teams nationwide that go out and do volunteer work in their communities. And then lastly, we have our Overwatch program, which is our suicide prevention team. It's our peer-to-peer suicide prevention online through Discord. So if somebody's having a bad day and they need someone to talk to, we've got folks available to kind of sit down and talk with them and see if they need any help. We have a non-crisis intervention kind of situation. Somebody just needs someone available to talk. We have folks available. So, and then lastly, as I was talking about, Phalanx House, which is our community center out in Los Angeles, which is our headquarters / community center out of Los Angeles County. And so you were talking about other milestones for the organization. We recently signed, we are signing with Los Angeles County as a partner for helping veterans in the county. So they're trusting us as an organization to help them out with trying to get their hands around the veteran conversation, because the VA just started a task force for gaming because they're seeing the value of, they don't get it, but because they keep calling it e-gaming, and I keep having to remind them, like, that's not a thing. That makes you look like Steve Buscemi with the skateboard. Hey, fellow kids, what is happening? It's like stop calling it e-gaming. That's not a thing. But they have opened up a task force to get their hands around this gaming community thing, because they're understanding veterans don't like going to the VA. There's not a lot of trust with the VA because the VA has had issues. They have been tasked with the impossible task of trying to help millions of veterans, you know, and mental health is not a, here's a pill and it's fixed and you're good. It's 20 years of therapy and like, but the government has a tendency to, instead of fixing the toys they broke, they just go out and buy some new ones and then they kind of leave the rest of us like holding the bag.
Yeah.
So it's an organization like ours and, you know, other organizations out there that just, we're trying to help out on the ground level and do what we can. And it's starting to make some traction with the VA, which is, I mean, that's a big piece. If we can get in with the government, I mean, could be huge. So we'll been doing this for 15 years now, and it's nice to finally start seeing some traction with that. But
yeah, right on. And last question, a little fun one. What is a story from your Stack Up career that you love to share? Maybe it's a vet that you've helped or an event that you did or something that sticks out in your mind that you're really proud of.
We've got two that I can think of off the top of my head. The one that transitioned Stack Up from this is cute to there's something here. We sent an Xbox to a guy and his family. Didn't think anything of it. We sent out 275 of them last year alone, you know, 50,000 veterans. It kind of just turns into like this blurring of, you know, you can't keep track of every story, but we get back pictures and thank yous. And every now and again, you get back one that's like, oh, okay, cool. So the husband asked for an Xbox. He wanted to play games, but he started playing Minecraft with his family. And he had a son who had violent Tourette's syndrome. And he was on a lot of medication for it. But he found that when his son was playing Minecraft with him, he didn't need to use as much medication. And it was one of those, there might be something here.
Yeah, there's, yeah.
Would you look at that? Ain't that something? And then we had a win from our suicide prevention team. I think it was mid last year sometime. But there was a guy who was, we very rarely get active, not shooters, but active guys that are actively ready to kill themselves. Like, I have a plan. We have suicidal, homicidal ideations. Like, we are executing on this time now. And guy had a gun and was like, I'm going to kill myself, you know. And our guy was able to talk him into, okay, well, talk with me for a little bit. And while we're talking, could you unload the gun? And just like, okay, yeah, like, I'll do that. He got him to unload and unchamber the round and put the gun down and got done talking with him. And then they finished up their conversation, and it's kind of one of those things with a Discord chat, you never know. It's like, all right. And then everybody went to bed. Next morning, guy got back on and he came back and he's like, well, I tried to kill myself. I forgot I had taken the ammo out of the gun and I pulled the trigger and nothing happened.
Holy cow.
But it was such a huge win for our team. Like it was wild. It was one of those, like, you very rarely get that kind of immediate feedback of, I tried to kill myself, you guys saved my life. And he was so freaked out that it didn't happen. He was like, well, obviously, you know, God and Allah and all that. Like, it freaked him out. And he's like, all right, I need to get help. And it's like, yeah. Holy shit. So that was a huge win for us.
And you know what? If it's all worth it just for that
yeah,
one guy.
That's the thing is, if you look at the numbers, like, our suicide prevention team put up some pretty decent numbers, but when it comes to the how much money are we spending to have volunteers and have team members, like, hire people and have people just on standby, and there were days, you know, when we had people that weren't doing anything, but having them ready to go in case somebody comes in like that, how much is a veteran's life worth, you know? And it's like, okay, well, we just found that you don't get those kind of wins all the time. So we just, you know, if you have a good conversation with someone, then you never hear from them again. You're like, well, I guess they're okay. Like, they just,
yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, that was a big win for us. That was one of those, like, we've had multiple duty to warn situations where we've had to send police patrols over to people's houses and get them help and, you know, do weapons confiscations and things like that. Like, but that was one of those ones where it was a neatly tied up package all set up. I was like, holy cow, that's so, yeah, that was a really cool thing.
that's, you should be very proud of that. That's amazing. So, Stephen, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Give us the website one more time.
Stackup.org. Where's my badge at? This is usually the easiest way. I just do this. Stackup.org. Boom.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And everyone, we'll see you here for more PAX 24 this weekend. Thank you. And thank you, Stephen. I appreciate
it. Absolutely. Thanks, Shane.